Welcome to the August 30th sermon from Clifford Baptist Church, 635 Fletcher's Level Road in Amherst. Today's scripture is from Luke chapter 11, verses 14 through 26, and the sermon is entitled Cleaning House, delivered today by Pastor Jeffrey Campbell.
It's great to see you here. Great to have you here today. And we're all here for a reason. And I believe that God has every single one of us here today for a certain reason, a purpose, under His guiding, under His direction, even that we may not even know. And so I'm thankful that each of you are here today. But I want to tell you a quick story that happened to me this week. I went to Lowe's, had to pick up a few things. Coming out of Lowe's, I get back in my car, and as soon as I crack the car door open, that's time where you have a sneeze hit you, right? And so I open the door, and about the time I have to sneeze, so open the door, shoot, right on the corner of that door. And so as I sat there with my eyes closed, I peeked up and I looked around. And I slid in my car. And I sat down. I said, that hurt. And I looked in the mirror. And I had a big old goose head coming. I said, thank God for a hard head. Today, my prayer is that those of us that are hard-headed, those of us that are hard-hearted, or those of us that are hardly where we need to be, that God will speak to us today. And so today I ask you the question I ask you every time. Did you come to church expecting God to meet you here today? Yes. Yes. We come expecting God to speak to us. And today I want you to know that this is not easy for me, because Satan is going to be mentioned. And I felt his crosshairs this week. And I know that this week you may feel it, and I apologize, because I'm going to anger him today. And rightfully so, because I'm not scared of Satan. Though he throws attacks, I will show you today that your God and my God and our God is more powerful. Today we're going to see that through his word. If you have your Bibles with you today, go to the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 11. And as you are going there, I want you to just listen to me. Find Luke chapter 11, but continue to listen. If you hear the two words, cleaning house, what do you think of? I know some of us jump for joy. Yes, that's what I love to do, right? No, many of us shake our head. We do not like doing it, but we love the results. Am I right? We don't like the process, but we love the results. But my friends, let me ask you this question today. Would you allow Jesus to clean house for you? You see, you don't have to do any of the hard work. Jesus will do that. But you have to accept the result. And you will like it, I guarantee you, if you allow Jesus to clean house. You must open doors. You must rearrange. You must even change some things in your house if you allow Jesus to clean house. But I guarantee you, you will love the results if you open your heart to Him today and allow Him to come and clean house. Today's sermon is titled, Cleaning House. And I believe that it's for every person here today and that will hear this sermon by radio in the future, that Jesus Christ wants to clean house. Let's see how he works. Luke chapter 11, starting with verse number 14. And he was casting out a devil, and it was dumb. And it came to pass, when the devil was gone out, the dumb spake, and the people wondered. And some of them said, he casteth out devil through Beelzebub, the chief of the devils. And another, tempting him, sought of him of a sign from heaven. But he, knowing their thoughts, said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falleth. If Satan also be divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? Because ye say that I cast out devils through Beelzebub. And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore shall they be your judges. But I, with the finger of God, cast out devils. No doubt the kingdom of God is come upon you. When a strong man, armed, keepeth his palace, his goods are in place.
But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him and taketh from him all his armor wherein he trusted and divideth his spoils. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through the dry places, seeking rest and finding none. He says, I will return unto my house whence I came out. And when he cometh, he findeth it swept and garnished. And then he goes and takes him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. We ask God's blessing upon his word. Now today I'm going to tell you there's a lot of teaching points here, and I've got about 20 minutes. So I'm going to skip over them pretty quickly. But listen, there's a lot of here that we can talk about and we can speak on. But I believe today that as Scripture picks up in Luke chapter 11, verse number 14, and picks up on a miracle in action, what Jesus is doing in verse number 14 is he is in the process of casting out a demon, an evil spirit from the person. I want you to see a couple of things. Number one, this person whom the evil spirit resides does not speak. He can't speak. He probably wants to speak. He would love to speak, but he's not speaking. The Bible calls it dumb. The second thing I want you to see is that he doesn't speak because he's possessed with an evil spirit. And that evil spirit causes him not to speak. That evil spirit controls his tongue. It controls his voice. And can you imagine this man as he walks around the town? Oh, he would love to cry out. Oh, he would love to tell somebody or talk to somebody. But he can't because this evil spirit has control of him. And as he runs into Jesus Christ, an amazing thing happens. Jesus heals the man right in front of many people who were walking by that day. And as Jesus performs that miracle, people begin to wonder. People begin to tempt him again. And people even begin to question if Jesus was casting out devils in the name of Beelzebub. Now, Beelzebub, an Old Testament god, a god of the flies or the dung god. A good name for a false god. But in your New Testament, it's referred to in a lot of situations as Satan himself. So the question that they pose, the religious leaders and the people pose to Jesus, are who are you casting these devils out of and whose name? Is it the name of Satan himself? The chief of the devils? These scribes and Pharisees were attributing the very work of God to Satan. And the Bible refers that to the unpardonable sin. And friends, today, in verse number 16, I want you to look at what they even have the guts or the audacity to do. Verse 16 said, and another, tempting him, sought of him a sign from heaven. So I want you to get all on board here. They just witnessed a miracle. They just witnessed Jesus perform a miracle. And yet here's another man that has the audacity. Hey, give me another one, Jesus. Give me a sign from heaven that shows that you're not doing this in the work of Satan. You see, they could deny many things. They could reason or try to reason many things. But the one thing they could not deny was a miracle had just happened. A man's life had just changed and they couldn't explain why. Why? Because they did not know Jesus. Friends, I want you to know, miracles happen every Sunday in this church. And you and I may not know about them because they may be private. But I will tell you one thing. I believe God Almighty knows. As Jesus' argument against these people that are coming against him, if I were working against Satan, if I were working against Satan, and I was of Satan, Satan's kingdom would fail. It would be like an army on the same side fighting against each other. The army would be destroyed. And so Jesus says, your logic makes no sense. Because if I'm working for Beelzebub, then I'm working against him as well. But he gives them and he offers them another reason. He says this, if he, being Jesus, was working, there was no way that he could work for Satan. There's no way that he could do an evil deed because he had just done this man a very good thing by allowing him to speak, that he ridded him of the evil spirit. And so Jesus says, your argument is not vain. But he throws a sucker punch in there, Jesus does. Look at verse number 19. Verse number 19 says, and if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore shall they be your judges. So Jesus says, if you say I'm working for Satan, who are your boys working for? Who are the good old boys working for? Your comrades, your sons, who are they casting out devils? Who are they performing exorcisms? Whose name are they using? They didn't have an answer. They knew that Jesus had him. They knew that he was right where he wanted him. But I want everybody right now, I've got 3 points this morning. I want everybody right now to look at verse number 17. Look at verse number 17. It says this. But he, knowing their thoughts, said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falls. Jesus' reason, I can't work for Satan because a house divided against itself will fall down. I work for God. But Clifford Baptist Church today, I want to ask you one question. With whom do you stand? You either stand for God or you stand for Satan and his work. Now listen, a house that works against itself, a house divided against itself, falls. And I want to issue a stern warning to Clifford Baptist Church today. I want to issue a warning to my family. Do you hear me? Because I love you. Every decision, every ministry, every idea, every outreach must have the same goal intact. And that goal is simply this: reaching the world for Jesus Christ, none other. Because if we have other goals and other ideas and other reasons for doing these things, we're going to be divided. Our church, our ministry needs to stand on the very Word of God. Because if we're not careful, Clifford Baptist Church can divide. When godly people work against godly people, it causes division. We need to stand on the very Word of God and stand beside each other through thick and through thin and through every situation, giving God the glory. Our ministry should be directed to other people, teaching them and letting them learn about Jesus Christ. We see in our scripture that Satan pits the religious leaders against Jesus. Man, what if they were on the same page? Wonder how many towns and how many lives would have changed. Today, don't you sit here this morning and think Satan is not trying to devise a scheme to target Clifford Baptist Church. A stern warning. Don't sit here and think that Satan is not after us. And he's looking for that crack or that cranny that he can slide in and get in and devise and break up a good and godly thing. And I want to warn my brothers and my sisters, do not let pews, do not let aisles, do not let a balcony, do not let sides, do not let ideas or your own ideas come in the way of that what God wants for Clifford Baptist Church. Today, no matter where you sit, we stand together. And we stand on God's holy word. We want His will for our church. We want His agenda to supersede our agenda. Because if it doesn't, it divides and we all fall. Division hurts. So, church, this morning, where do you stand? And I'll be the first to say, I will stand on Jesus. No other place. Look at verse 20. But if I, with a finger of God, cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God is upon you. We see this statement as Jesus makes it. I believe it's a very strong statement. It's saying what he's there to do and who he represents. He's saying, I, with the very finger of God, cast out that devil out of that man. I did it with God's help. And I am here to establish God's kingdom. But there are two little words in that verse number 20 I want you to see. And that are these. No doubt the kingdom of God has come upon you. There's no doubt the kingdom of God is here. I'm here. No doubt. Friends, today I want you to know Satan will try every tactic to get you to doubt. But today there is a way that you can stand that leaves no doubt. And I challenge my family, whether you're working, whether you're at church, or whether you're in the world, that you need to leave no doubt of where you stand and who you represent. That doubt that you leave in that coworker's mind or that coworker's eyes will think, or will allow them to think, that person doesn't believe. Or does that person go to church? If somebody has to ask, does that person go to church? Or is that person a Christian? I'm not doing something right. Let's leave no doubt. Jesus did. Jesus told him, there's no doubt of what I'm here to do. I'm here to establish the very kingdom of God. And friends, I want to be part of that. No doubt to this world. We see the strong man armed. Look at verse 21. When a strong man armed, keep his palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him, and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor, wherein he trusted, and divides his spoils. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth. Now, J. Vernon McGee loves verse number 21. He's saying there's a good reason that strong men should be armed and keep their house in order. Now, I want you to know that as we see this verse, I think of Satan occupying a man's life. And this man thought, there's no way. I'm going to be dumb and blind for the rest of my life. I'm never going to get rid of this. Could you imagine wandering the world not being able to talk? I know sometimes my wife wishes that on me. But guys, I would die. Literally, I would die if I could not communicate. You can't tell somebody how you feel. You can't tell somebody what's going on in your life. You can't do anything. And here's this man that is possessed by the devil, by the strong man armed. But that verse number 22 says, when one that is stronger comes, what happens? Look at verse 22. When the stronger one comes, he shall come upon him and overcome him and take it from him all his armor wherein he trusted and divide his spoils. Jesus' teaching point was this: that mute man was occupied by an evil spirit, but I am stronger than Satan. I am stronger than Satan. I overcame that spirit and kicked him out. I cleaned house. Because I can. Because I work for my Father. There's one stronger than Satan. And Jesus overcame this spirit. Jesus kicked him out. Jesus cleaned the house. And I want you to know that I praise God for that. Because I praise God because I know that he can overcome evil. I look at this world, even this week, and I shake my head and I say, I live in an evil world. And then I say, no, my God is stronger than it all. I have to have faith. If the pastor loses faith, then his congregation loses faith. If I lose faith, my teenagers lose faith. I live in an evil world, but I have a God that can overcome it all. I have a God that can overcome Satan himself. I have a God that can overcome whatever is thrown in my direction and whatever is thrown at you. God can overcome those things. I know some of you here today are staring at divorce. You're staring at broken families. You're staring at financial problems. You're staring at depression. You're staring at all these things that are thrown at you. And I want you to hear me loud and clear today that God can overcome it all. I praise God today that He can even take a lost soul that is bound for hell, clean house, and give it a new direction. He did it with me. He did it with me. And I promise today that if you allow God to clean house, He will do it for you. In verse number 23, Jesus says this, "He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scatters." Jesus' words ring out to the religious leaders, "You either stand with me or you stand against me. You're either going to be with me in this battle and setting up God's kingdom, or you're going to stand in my way. And you stand in my way, you're standing against me." Jesus leaves no gray area. And I want you to understand, there is no gray area when it comes to God. Why? Because He loves you. He wants you to come to Him. He wants you to stand with Him. He wants you to be on your side. He died for you so that you could stand with Him. But if you stand in His way, you stand opposed. Friends, today, I believe, not judging, that there are friends of mine and family members of mine and maybe even some that are part of my church family, I don't know, that are standing in God's way. And the Bible says that if you stand in His way, you stand against Him. You either stand for Him or you stand against Him. So my second question to you today is this. Where do you stand? Where does your house stand? Is it on the side of Christ? Is it standing with Jesus Christ? Are you standing in His way? Are you standing against Him? And I know today there may be somebody that's never made the decision to follow Christ. Listen, that's your decision. But if you walk out of this room today and don't make a decision, you've made your decision. You stand against Him. You stand against Him. Maybe there are some changes that you're making. We'll get to that in a minute. But if you decide not to make those changes today, you stand against Him. You stand against His will for your life. The challenge to the religious leaders and to the people of Jesus' day is, if you don't stand with me, you stand against me. And I believe that same challenge needs to be heard today. We've got a world that stands against authority. We've got a world that's standing against themselves. We're fighting amongst ourselves. We've got a world that's standing against authority. We can't even, a police officer has no authority today because people stand against them. Maybe I shouldn't go there, but I am. We're fighting ourselves. We're killing ourselves as a country. As people, as human beings, we're fighting against ourselves instead of living for God. And I never want my church to get like that. I hope you hear my cry this morning. The warning. Church family, be careful. All it takes is a crack. And division comes. Satan comes in and has his way. Today, you either have to take a stand. You either have to stand with Christ, and you either stand against Him. Your choice, not mine. Your choice. So I ask you, where do you stand? Look at verses 24 through 26, and I see what time it is. It says this, "When an unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places seeking rest and finding none. He says, I will return into my house whence I came out. And when he comes, he finds it swept and garnished. And then goes he and takes him seven other spirits more wicked than himself. And they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Now listen, guys, real quick. I want you to picture a house that is vacant. Let's label it a haunted house. Nobody lives there, but we see them on TV, right? We see them down the street. Those houses that nobody lives in, they may even look good on the outside, but it doesn't take too long to get run down. And eventually, they get inhabited by something or someone. Friends, today, I believe there are people walking around vacant houses. Maybe even sitting in Clifford Baptist pew today, there are vacant houses here, waiting for somebody to come in, waiting for somebody to get straight, waiting for somebody to clean up. Jesus tells about the evil spirit. Once it's kicked out of the man, guess what? It goes off, and it's looking for another home. And when it can't find another place to settle down, what does it do? It comes back to where it got kicked out of. And if nobody has resided there, it moves back in. And not only that, it brings seven spirits that are stronger. God's warning against those who backslide. Those who get cleaned up by God. But guess what? They remain empty. Today, the sternest warning of them all is this. There are many that come with a prayer request, with a petition to God, and say, God, I need your help. Clean me up. Whatever sin it could be, you name the sin. Let's call drunkenness. Let's call pornography. Let's call whatever you want to call it. God, help me with this issue. God helps you with that issue. You overcome it. But don't ask God to stay. He cleans up the house. He rids the house of all the uncleanliness, all the sin. And he leaves because you kick him out. And before too long, drunkenness, pornography, and many other issues show back up at your door, knocking, wanting to get back in. There are many that ask God to help get them straight. Help God get me straight. Help me clean house. And when Christ shows up and he answers the call, he doesn't get asked to stay. He doesn't get asked to live there. You want him to fix it all, make it all right and beautiful, but God, get out after that. You see, the part that hurts me, and I believe it hurts God, is that when he cleans house, God doesn't clean house to make it look good, to smell good, or because company's coming. God cleans house because he wants to live there. God cleans houses because he wants to live there. Friends, my heart was clean when I was 15 years old because God said, I want to live there. Even though it's bald, even though it's hard-headed, I want to live there. God cleans house because he wants to come into your life and change your life. So the last question, and I'm done, is this. Who occupies your house? Who occupies your heart? Today, that's the question I want to ask my family. Who occupies? Now, you may say, my family does. That's a great thing. My family occupies my house too. But it's not number one. My God is. The love of sports. Guys, I love the game of baseball. I love coaching baseball. I love it. It occupies my life a little bit. But listen, God occupies my house. Today, I want you to right now focus on you and you alone. Don't worry about the other houses that are around you right now. Worry about your house. And I want you to know, our houses sometimes may even look good on the outside. But on the inside, they're dirty, they're sin-filled, and they need cleaning. Today, I want you to know that Jesus Christ cleans houses. Praise God. Praise God. Here's the kicker, though. Today, you must let him. You must rearrange. You must be willing to change as God cleans your house. Today, I believe that everyone from the pulpit to the back door, from the balcony all the way to the floor, it's house inspection time. If you say today, if you sit here and say, I'm not doing something right according to God's will and I know it, it's cleaning time. If you say, God once lived here, but I surely can't find him now. I know he's in there somewhere because I walked the aisle and I prayed a prayer. I know God's in there, but I can't find him. It's cleaning time. If your life is full of some sin and some evil, just as this dumb deaf man, it's cleaning time. And if you think your house is perfect, it's cleaning time. Today, the invitation is to that one who needs Jesus as Savior. I believe that Jesus wants to clean your house. I believe that Jesus wants to clean your heart. Not to make you look good or not to make you look good for others to see, because he wants to live within your heart. And Christians, ain't nary one of you perfect. We may think we look good. We may think we do exactly right. But our houses need cleansed as well. Whatever your need. And guys, listen. I want to be the first one. Say, God, clean my house today. Because I know as soon as I crack the threshold of that door, Satan's after me. I know that the world needs Jesus. And we can't expect somebody else to take it to him. I'll be the one. Today, wherever you are, wherever you sit, wherever you are in your life, will you allow Jesus to clean you up? Will you allow Jesus to clean house? Whether it's the whole thing or just a room, allow him to clean today. Let's pray. Father God, today, Lord, we're thankful, Lord, for your word. And God, this was not an easy sermon for me. But God, I just pray, Lord, maybe I don't know what to think, God. I just want you to use it. I just want you to use it to speak to people's lives who need to be cleaned up, whose hearts are maybe not right where they should be. God, you can do it. You can do the work if people are willing to change. And so today, from the very bottom of my heart, from the depths of my soul, I cry out to that one who needs a house cleaning. God, I believe from the very voice that you're using through me, you're crying out. You want to clean a house today. You want to do work today. Father God, I pray that people surrender and allow you to clean. Father, I pray that you just take over this invitation time right now. God, begin to clean, Lord, like only you know. Change as only you can. Rearrange to benefit you, I pray. Lord, we give this to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Clifford Baptist Church invites you to join them for worship every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. For more information about our church, please call us at 434-946-0555.